And Dawn just had another thought. Dawn, what were you going to say?
Well, our parents or the old people back then, they wasn't allowed to speak their lingo on the missions, and that's why we, you know, me and my sisters and a lot of the others didn't learn much of the language, the lingo, you know, what they talk.
And did you have to have permission to go from the mission into town?
Yes, we had to report to the manager before we left the mission, and when we came back we had to report that we was back.
And when I interviewed Roy Kennedy, he was telling me he had a dog tag or a, I don't know, his Aboriginal certificate, where he had to agree to not talk in his native tongue or not mix with people who were in their using their cultural. Did you have one of those certificates? A dog tag?
No, I didn't have one of them.
Yeah. Did you know people who had them?
No, I don't think so.
He was saying that you had to have one of those if you wanted to deal with business, and he delivered the mail around Ivanhoe and around there, and so he needed to have one of those. And did you have any... Were you treated... you said you were treated disrespectfully by the woman who was the manager's wife and the manager on the mission.
Yes.
Through your life, did you feel like there was much racism shown towards you?
Yeah, there was, yeah. Living on missions and that, you know, and we wasn't free, you know, to do what we wanted to do, you know.
So was it hard to adjust when you left from Sydney and went back home to your family? Was it different?
It was different, yeah.
Was it harder or easier or...?
I reckon it was harder.
Why was it harder?
Being away, you know, because... Well, I missed out on that year with my mum and dad, you know.
And your dad died not long after you got
back? He died not long
ago,
yeah, after that, yeah.
And you said to me in your other interview that it was time when you should have actually been at school, not be working.
Well, that's right. You know, I thought they'd take children when they wasn't at school, but, you know, being taken from the school while attending.
So when you came back and married and had, what was your husband's
name? Roland.
Roland. Married Roland Smith, and had your babies, and as your babies got older, did you do any other paid work?
No, just fruit block, picking and that, grapes picking. Yeah.
And is that hard work, picking grapes?
It is, but it's hot days and that, yeah, but I enjoyed doing it. It was a living, you know, for us.
And nowadays you're retired, but you're still doing a lot of work on the management of Mungo National Park. What are the things that you do now that you enjoy?
Well, I like, you know, being on committees and that, you know, where I can help people, you know, like making the right decisions and that, you know, for things to happen and that, you know, helping people.
So it's important to
you. Create employment for our younger ones.
How have you had any luck with that?
Yeah, well, we've got workers out at Mungo, you know, on tour guides and that, and I sat on interviews and that, you know, and yeah.
To give people jobs.
Give people jobs and that.
So if you were going to give Malcolm Turnbull, our Prime Minister, some advice about how to run the country, what would you say to him?
Well, he's cutting us back on a lot of funding, and you know, and that's cutting back on employment for our people. You know, our organisations, he's cutting them back because Aboriginal people only seem to get jobs out of their own organisations, Aboriginal organisations. And by him cutting the funding, he's cutting our people out of work. Because, you know, it's very hard to get an Aboriginal person to go and try for a job in the, you know, in these top, well, working for in white offices and that, you know. It's very hard.
And so more opportunities.
More opportunities for our people. And housing, health and education is our most important thing, you know, for our people, which we are short on. We need more housing because Aboriginal people, they're overcrowded and they won't put their families out in the street. And education, our young children, they can go to primary schools, but when they get to high schools, they don't go any further, you know?
How do you think they could be encouraged to go further?
Well, I know for a fact that there's a lot of prejudice at high schools in it because my grandkids faced it, you know, from teachers. You know, we talk about kids bullying kids, but you get teachers bullying children too. And I witnessed that through my grandkids and other kids because and little kids, you know, when they're in school, they won't come home and tell you sometime. You find out from someone else. I've got a young grandson whilst he was at preschool, and he's got hair on the side of his face, you know. It grows on the side of his face around here while he was in at the primary school. And the headmaster of all people at assembly one morning, he turned his face away and she said to him in front of the assembly, all the teachers and children at the school, she said, "Can you turn your hairy face around?" The headmaster of all people. So me and my daughter, we went up and had a meeting with her. She owned up to it that she did say it. And a couple of teachers owned up to it that she said it to. But my little grandson, he must have been too ashamed to come home and tell his mum.
Yeah, and terrible.
Even the high school, he's at the high school too. One of my grandchildren was called a black bear at the school by a teacher. And then another grandson, the little boy who just lost his mum, Tyrone, he had a sore leg one day and he told the teacher. And the teacher said to him, "Oh, you only got cancer." You know, that's not nice things to say to our kids. And they wonder why our kids don't go through to year 12 and that. Mm. Because there's a lot of, you know, like I just said, it's not just children bullying children. Stages.
Terrible.
Mm.
Okay,
so,
Dawn.
You know, we try to encourage our kids to go to school. We want them to go and get education. But with things like that, you know, that turns a lot of Aboriginal kids away. Because Aboriginal kids are not like, you know, the non-Indigenous. You know? we think different, you know. And if we complain about things like that, they just say, oh, they still complain about things, you know. But they say, well, our kids, a lot of them don't go through year 12. I was lucky to get a couple of my grandkids go through to year 12. But they said a lot of them.
That's great. Mm. All right, Dawn. Well, thank you very much once again for those other little stories.
Louise. I enjoyed doing it.
I enjoyed hearing your stories too. Thank you.